Today is Sunday, March 18th, 2018, and this...
Listen, why don't you just relax, take a break, come back in an hour or so, and then see if you can keep that win streak going. What do you say, kid, huh?
Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to get back into it. Man, Las Vegas is really turning out to be a great place.
Vegas, the greatest little town in the world.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 639.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas!
You think we get there by midnight? Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Going through a little Vegas withdrawal. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah?
I like when people say they're not going to lie because that implies they're always lying otherwise. Mm-hmm. There's a tip-off for you. If somebody starts every sentence with, well, to be honest, they're probably full of shit most of the time. Anyway, normally the last few years, we've been in Las Vegas around this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided not to go this year for March Madness. Because last year was a bit much.
It was fun, but it got to be a little overwhelming.
Yeah, crowds are a little much during this particular weekend. So I'm not sad to be missing that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm feeling like I should be there gambling on basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm coping.
Yeah.
I'm getting by as best as I can in this crazy world of ours.
That's good.
What about you? Do you miss it at all, or are you
I miss it, but I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been seeing some things on Twitter and Facebook of people having fun, and I'm like, I want to be having fun.
Instead, we have to stay here and record this podcast.
It's okay. We'll get back there soon enough. All right. So we've got a lot of interesting things to talk about this week. But before that, as always, this podcast is listener supported by fine folks such as the following Patreon patrons: Heather Adams, Kurt Stickler, KJ Wheeler, Dalen Davies, William Pittock, Andy Sawatsky, Josh Bernstein, and Truckosaurus, who I assume is some sort of a transformer and or GoBot.
Mm-hmm.
But we welcome all here, whether you are a robot, a partial robot, a multiracial robot. We don't care. We love everyone, as long as you love Vegas. Anyway, thank you to our Patreon supporters. If you're wondering what this is about, people who want to support the show on a monthly basis... get some bonus content as our way of saying thank you. We should probably schedule another little
chat thing,
live stream thing one of these days. Patreon.com/500 is the place to go for details. And thank you to all of our supporters. You are fantastic. All right. The biggest story this week, I'm still trying to make heads or tails of this. I'm not sure exactly where I land as far as pro or con. Well, I guess there'd be no reason to be con, but I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. We need some more immersive experiences in Las Vegas. I think we all know that.
We need some more immersive experiences everywhere.
Oh, the future is immersion. I have a feeling I'm going to be sidetracky today. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
There's a design company that I follow on Facebook that they've done some casino design and they've done a lot of theme park design. So they recently changed their name and blah, blah, blah. Well, their rebranded new name, not the name itself, but their tagline
mm-hmm.
is something like creating immersive experiences. And I'm like, I wonder if like 3 years, well, not 3 years ago, like 10 years ago, they mm-hmm. were like extreme design. Like, do they leap on every
trend?
Super cheese ball trend. Immersive is the big one, of course. So there was a new immersive experience that was announced this week in Las Vegas. Perry Farrell, the creator of Lollapalooza and the singer from such great bands. People do like his bands. I'm not one of them. Jane's Addiction and Porno for Pyros was among the people announcing this project. He is one of the creators of it. It's called Kind Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the name. Mm. Like, and we've talked about names a lot and how they ultimately don't matter if you have a good experience, but I don't feel like for this type of attraction, it explains anything about what it is. And I think he's used this name before. When I had searched for it as it was being announced, a bunch of other stuff came up from several years ago. I don't know if it was the name of a tour or what, but anyway, Kind Heaven is apparently Perry Farrell's thing. So what is this crazy thing that was announced?
Do tell us.
I'm not really sure. It's a new attraction. Well, it will be. It's opening in August 2019 at the Link, and it's going to be a large scale attraction, 100,000 square feet, which is pretty massive, and I believe four stories. So this is going to be like a big thing. In order to try to explain what this is, I'm going to first go directly to the announcement, the press release, about, because you know how I love press release language.
Yes, I know how you do.
Because I read this in the first several articles that came out about it, and I still had no idea what the fuck it was. So this is the creators explaining what Kind Heaven is. See if you can count the buzzwords. Combining leading-edge technology and Hollywood-style storytelling, Kind Heaven will take visitors on a sensual, exotic journey that offers the best of Southeast Asian culture, music, food, danger, fashion, exoticism, exploration, mystery, and spiritual enlightenment. Featuring a soundscape curated by Perry Farrell, Kind Heaven will provide a wide variety of experiences, from dark and mysterious back alleys to a forest temple and beautiful sanctuary. Every area will feature different food, drink, and entertainment experiences, and everything will be available for purchase. That's appealing. Everything will be available for purchase. So again, I was trying to figure out, okay, there's a lot of things here, a lot of stuff going on in their description. I read several things. So the one article that started to give me a little bit of clarity was an interview with Perry Farrell that appeared on Billboard.com. where he explained, and I'll quote him here, "You're basically walking through a 90-minute show routed in mythology and original content." I don't know. When you're within the complex, you're free to roam around and discover hidden alleyways, visit nightclubs, and eat from Hong Kong-style street food vendors. There'll be improvisational actors, musicians, acrobats, and comedians combining elements of sensuality and espionage into an experience that'll be first of its kind. So I kind of get this. So my understanding is it's a theme, sort of a theme park, where it's a little bit of Rose Rabbit Lie, yeah, a little bit of theme park, there's a bunch of different things kind of thrown into a martini shaker and mixed up. Based on the pictures, it looks like it will be very themey. Mm-hmm. This will make some of the people who miss the themed resort era a little happy.
Yeah.
Because you go in there and it's supposed to be designed so that it feels authentic. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're in a Southeast Asian, streetscape, and you can wander around and explore things, and it will never be the same twice because they change what the performers are doing. And, some of the performers are performers up on a stage and others are those that are around you acting as though they belong there and live there and all that. The weird part to me is that they're combining this with a music thing where they'll have, I can't remember if it's four stages or six stages. They're going to have multiple stages where there'll be performers and there'll be some holographic performances of like major acts. They said A-list acts.
Oh, let's not do that.
And once in a while, those people will actually be performing there, but you won't know when they're going to be there. So you might be expecting to see their holograms and it's really going to be them. They're throwing a lot at this that doesn't necessarily naturally go together. And again, like if you're wandering down a street in Southeast Asia, are you going to see Perry Farrell performing? No. So as far as like we wanted everything to be authentic, but then
by its very nature
then why are there Coldplay holograms here,
right?
I'm very confused by this. So some of the stuff they're doing with technology to make this a little bit different, they're going to use RFID bracelets, which I know they've used at, I think they used it at a Rock in Rio, and they sometimes will use this at music festivals. So they just scan your bracelet and that's how you pay for stuff. It would be connected to a credit card or your PayPal account, or they're very excited about accepting cryptocurrencies.
Of course. And
it's not just going to be food, but apparently almost everything there is available for sale. So in an interview in Forbes, one of the creators said, if you see something on the wall, like a painting or a ceramic, that's probably available for sale.
You want to take it home, decorate your house?
Yeah, so I'm imagining like everything there has barcodes on it.
Huh, yeah.
For scanning. And you'll be able to then, I guess, pick it up at the end. I don't know. So they're going to have two different experiences as part of this. During the day, it's going to be very family-friendly, and the whole experience, I hate to keep using that word, but I don't know what else to use. The whole thing is going to be very family-friendly, focusing on culture and traditions.
Kind of like going to Epcot.
That's exactly the thing that popped into my mind. Epcot, except for maybe a little bit more, at least
they're immersive.
Aiming for something that's a little bit more realistic, not as maybe plastic. And then nighttime, it will be adults only. Hooray, more adults only stuff. Focused on... they said it will include everything from streetwalkers to nightclubs.
Define streetwalker.
I read prostitute there. And is that, is she going to have an RFID code on? Are you going to?
Yeah.
I'm not promoting human trafficking, but that's what it sounds like they're doing here. Super, super themed, like I said. They said there's going to be not only performers who are holograms, but there are also going to be hologram and automated animals. And if you notice that they're not real, they will have failed. That's how realistic this technology is supposed to look.
Okay. The one thing that I'm that jumped out at me. Holographic monkey wrestling.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to lie to you. Honestly.
As you have been up to this point.
Honestly, that appealed to me too. Well, you get into some sort of monkey wrestling. Who doesn't want to watch that? And you might
next
be able,
thing you know, they'll be playing poker.
Well, we're getting close to the... When this fails, they can just keep the monkeys, turn it into monkey poker dome. We'll be ready to roll. There's a chance... Now, they haven't finalized whether or not there will be any gambling permitted in this facility. But the idea of being able to wager on the wrestling monkeys has been mentioned in some of these articles. Which is like kind of like, are they going to have virtual cockfights too? Like, how realistic are we going to make this? Southeast
Asia. Are the monkeys going to be spanking it occasionally and throwing poop at you?
That would be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Time will tell. There are a lot of different directions they could go with this. Although holographic poop probably wouldn't, you know, if you're going to have some poop thrown at you, you want it to be fake. All right. Yeah, this is something. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly what to make of this whole thing. Like, aspects of it are kind of intriguing, but maybe this is a good thing. The fact that I can't figure this out might be a good thing. And the reason I say that is because there's been a fair amount of criticism, especially for some reason in the last couple months. I've been seeing some things about, well, Vegas is no longer innovating. It's just all the resorts copy each other. There's nothing new. It's not like it used to be where they were coming up with all this new stuff. This seems pretty different.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but it's...
But at least it's different.
Seems like it's something different. So I guess I have to give them credit for that, even though I don't know what the fuck it's all about.
That gives them some freedom, too, if they find out during the design stage, oh, this doesn't work. They could just change it up and nobody will know.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's still a year and a half away. It might be really cool. It might be a complete mess. I don't know.
Might be a little bit of both.
Might be a little bit of both. So as far as where it's going to be and how, you know, what it's going to cost, the Review Journal article said it's going to be facing the strip from the upper levels of the link, taking up space once occupied by the sports book, the old Imperial Palace sports book space, and currently by the Vortex special event venue, which is rarely used. That's that rooftop. It was going to be a nightclub at one point. You know, they'll have people up there if there are fireworks and stuff, but you don't see it being used very often. The entrance will be on the west side of the Link Promenade. Prices are not set, but expect to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 during the day and $65 at night. So if you want to hang out with virtual streetwalkers.
It's a little more expensive than going during the day.
A little bit more pricey. I'm sure that we'll go to this because I think to understand it and to you'll have to experience it. I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm excited about this, but I'm certainly intrigued.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe even a little curious. So there you go. August 2019. We'll see what the hell this is and whether or not it can be successful. An attraction of this size and of this nature, and I know I saw numbers as far as how many people it will employ. I think it's like 650. It's a lot. It's a lot of people, and it would have to, because if you're going to have all these people that are performers in one way or another, right, plus all the people who need to make it run and all that, mm-hmm, and it's four-story, it's huge. You're going to have a lot of people employed. So that's a good thing.
And that is good.
But to keep this thing going, it's going to have to be really successful.
Right.
It'll have to be busy all the time. And they think it will, but, you know, a lot of people who have ideas for things in Vegas think they're going to be successful, and they don't stand a chance. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm interested to see how this unfolds in August 2019. So there you go. All right. And if you get to see it before us, please call in a review. Okay. So that's the big story this week. Down at Stratosphere, there was an announcement this week during a quarterly earnings call from that particular property's owner, Golden Entertainment. They are planning on infusing some money into the property for upgrades over the next several years. This is a good thing. You mm-hmm always like to see hotels upgrading and bringing on new stuff. And here is what their plans entail. It's quite a bit of stuff spread out over several years. According to the Review Journal, the second half of 2018 will include phase number one, and that will be remodeling. Throughout the 3 years, they're going to remodel about half of their 2,400 rooms. So by the end of 2018, they will have completed 317 hotel rooms. They're going to be adding a new gastro brew outlet, which is, you know, a bar and grill with probably their own...
with some beer.
Their own type of beer. A new casino view lounge overlooking the casino floor. They're going to be remodeling the observation deck and thrill ride levels, and there will be a new bar appealing to a younger demographic. Younger than what is what I want to know.
Ah.
New exterior signage and a new reward center and VIP hotel registration area. So lots of plans just for this year alone. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that, next year, they have plans for phase two, which will include remodeling an additional 452 hotel rooms, adding a new steakhouse, remodeling the casino floor, adding a new Starbucks. Oh, thank goodness. We're finally getting a Starbucks.
Yes.
And general aesthetic upgrades throughout the resort. All right, good. 2020 will be the final phase. That will include another 364 room remodels, a new noodle bar and food hall concept, the remodeling of the Top of the World restaurant, revamping the showroom, adding new casino space directed at younger casino visitors. Uh-oh. Uh-huh. To be called Adrenaline. It'll be extreme.
Oh, God.
Don't you think by 2020, most places will be like, okay, we're done with this?
Mm-hmm.
No, Strat will just be, they'll just be installing their millennial fun area.
Mm-hmm.
And reworking space on the mezzanine level for a planned convention center. They're also expecting to put out a new players club by the end of this year. So lots of things happening at Stratosphere. Always good to see. We don't get down there very often.
No.
Maybe we'll make it down there to see some of these changes some point over the next 3 years. I don't know. Anything here excite you?
I just think it's good in general that they're keeping up the property.
I do. Especially when there's new ownership and they've, mm-hmm, you know, they've owned it for a little while, but not real long. And it's good when somebody new comes in and says, okay, we spent a bunch of money on this. Let's make it better.
And the timing could be good if the North Strip starts being revitalized, then...
Yes. Very true. 2020 is the magical date where a bunch of stuff is supposed to be happening on the north end of the Strip, and if that's true, they would need to be... they would need to up their game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, a nice way of looking at this, too, is that if indeed the North Strip is more vibrant and there's a lot more going on there by 2020, suddenly Stratosphere becomes much more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a mid to low tier hotel,
mm-hmm, rate. Reasonable room rates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there was other stuff around, that would...
Because you know these new places are going to be hella expensive.
Oh, they will. There's no way you can't open a new place and have it make financial sense if it's not a high-end, mm-hmm, resort. So there you go. We've got some stuff happening at Strat. Let's talk about some entertainment things that are going on, starting at Caesar's Palace. There's a show we discussed a couple months ago called Renegades. If you don't recall that based on its name, you may remember that we referred to it as the Assholes of Sports. This particular show at Cleopatra's Barge featured, as we'll be mentioning in a minute, stories and Q&As with notorious athletes Jim McMahon, Terrell Owens, and Jose Canseco. And the idea was to change the panel every so often. Bring in some new assholes every once in a while. And apparently it didn't go so well. After that first run, they're supposed to start another one sometime maybe this month or next month. And it has disappeared altogether from the Caesar's Palace website. So apparently we are done with Renegades.
Darn.
Yeah, no, I think this concept for a show, I think part of the problem was to try to make this an ongoing thing and to give it prime time, you know, like weekend nights in a space like that, that's a flawed plan.
Yeah.
If you were to make this a recurring limited run during very sports-centric times of year, for example, March Madness,
yep.
Super Bowl, maybe yep. big fight weeks, and market it heavily.
And then have people related to those.
Yeah, exactly.
Sports, yeah. Or at least one member of the panel be like a famous boxer, famous.
Yeah, who's the biggest asshole in basketball, for example? I don't know. Bring him in for March Madness. That it seems like if they marketed it right and even maybe made it part of room packages where, you know, you're going to get a reserve seat for March Madness in the Caesar's Palace sports book and you're going to get a couple tickets for this and your room altogether. It seems like something like this could be a success in that case. But to try to make it an ongoing show,
it's kind of like the Field of Dreams thing where they're just standing around waiting for people to come in.
Oh, you see all those pictures of Pete Rose just sitting there all lonely waiting for someone to come in and ask for an autograph and throw down their credit card. Yeah. It's just, if it's available often, it's not. It doesn't seem to me like it caters to a large enough audience to have it, even though a lot of people love sports. This seems very specific, maybe beyond having it as an ongoing thing. But like I said, if you want a brilliant idea, bring it back just periodically. It's a guarantee. Well, not a guarantee. I don't want to guarantee anything, but I think they would do well if they did that, if they focused it that way. All right, another show that we've mentioned many times in this podcast is called Purple Rain. It is a long-running Prince tribute show. It has moved venues in Las Vegas countless times. I lost track years ago, somewhere between Boardwalk and its current home at Tropicana. It has played approximately 617 different showrooms in Las Vegas. I don't know. Beginning in April, the show, it must be doing well at the Trop. This is a good thing. Maybe it'll be there for a while.
That would be good.
Beginning in April, the show is adding two additional shows weekly. So they're going from 4 shows a week to 6 shows a week, Tuesdays through Sundays at 9 p.m. The other change is that they are adding a second Prince. Jason Tenner is the guy behind that show. He's fantastic. And he's been, I don't know exactly how this is going to work. They're bringing in a guy named Julian Stefani, and I watched some YouTube performances. He was in a tribute band called Erotic City. Sounds great. Looks decent. I think he can pull it off.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out, are they going to have... It wasn't clear to me. It sounded a little bit in the announcement like they might have both of them, not performing together necessarily, but alternating throughout the show. I'm not sure how that would go. I don't know. I don't know if I like this.
Yeah.
As a fan of this particular show and of Prince... now, it would probably be better if they had one of them perform on certain nights and the other perform on certain nights, just for continuity. It's weird, if all of a sudden that's a different Prince up there during the same show. So maybe that's the plan. I'm not sure. It wasn't
completely maybe they're clear. Doing different eras,
That could be.
Like the early 80s and then later.
Yeah.
Different hairstyles and wardrobe and such.
They said it. The reason that I was led to believe that they would both be performing on the same during the same shows is that in the announcement it said you wouldn't be seeing the same show twice. So it almost sounded like, they both might have the capabilities to do the same songs and one night one guy might do Purple Rain and the next time the other guy. I don't know. I'm not sure about this. The show also includes a Morris Day and the Time tribute act and a Vanity 6 tribute act. They when we saw him last, we've seen him a couple times. When we saw him at the D, they had the Morris Day and the Time tribute. Kind of in the middle, they came out and did a few songs, and that was pretty entertaining too. So it's an overall Prince theme with those acts.
So will Vanity 6 basically do Nasty Girl and that's it?
I've got to think so. I can't name any of the other songs, and I'm a big Prince fan. Do you know any of the other songs?
Nope.
Sex Shooter was Apollonia.
That was Apollonia, yeah, yep.
I don't know. All right, well, tickets are $50 and up through ticket plus fees through Ticketmaster. If you are a Prince fan, I highly recommend the show. It is really good. I'm just not sure how this will shake out with an additional Prince performer thrown into the mix. All right, moving to another property, Wynn Las Vegas. There is a residency announcement.
Are there sound clips for
this? No, I didn't pull any sound clips. I know you're going to be very sad. I could just sing the one song I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a little of that. So after
Once Upon a Time in Your Wildest Dreams.
Oh, I forgot about that one. That was their last hit, wasn't it?
I think so.
Moody Blues. You may have heard of them. They did a 4-show run at the Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas a couple months ago. And now they're coming back for a proper residency. They're going to be doing 9 shows. I believe 9 is the number we set for a minimum of discussing such things and considering it an official residency. The dates are between September 19th and October 6th. You may know the Moody Blues from Nights in White Satin. There you go. That's my performance of Moody Blues.
That was beautiful.
This is part of their tour, the Days of Future Past 50th Anniversary Tour. That is apparently their second album. I did a little research to find out what the hell that was.
Huh.
This show, throughout the tour and these particular shows at Wynn, will include 2 different sets. The first set in the show will be Greatest Hits, and then the second set will be the album Days of Future Past in its entirety. Now, Nights in White Satin, the only song I'm familiar with, is on that album, and mm-hmm. you raised a valid question.
Will they be performing it twice?
Would it be in their Greatest Hits set and then again in the album set?
I would assume they just do it in the album set.
And then the encore as well. I know. Moody Blues fans are like, they have so many great songs. I'm sure they do. I discovered that this album is considered by some to be the beginning of the prog rock genre. So we have Moody Blues to blame for that.
Uh-huh. Good to know.
Yeah. So if you enjoy a lot of keyboard wankery, I don't know if that's when I think prog rock, I'm like a little over the top. Mm-hmm. A little over the top production, a little over the top everything.
Very long songs.
Nah, not a big prog rock guy. It's a whole themed concept album. Maybe we'll pull it up on Spotify and play it later.
Sure.
That'll be how we'll spend our afternoon. Tickets are $60 to $275 plus service fees through the Wynn website. If you're a Moody Blues fan and you like Las Vegas, it's a good chance to see them. I won't be booking a trip specifically for this.
No. But Encore Theater, nice venue.
There you go. Yeah, nice small venue. Probably a good place to see any band you love that happens to be playing there. Okay, I'm sure I'll get hate mail now from some old hippies who love the fucking Moody Blues.
Everything's funny until you rip on something they love.
Exactly. Oh, I got lambasted for a tweet a couple weeks ago. A musical-related tweet.
What was it related
to? Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh.
Yep, that was fun. All right, so final piece of news this week. This is a very exciting. As anybody who listens to this show and visits Las Vegas often knows, it's really hard to find a hamburger and shake in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So challenging. Where when you're wandering, you know, is there one, for example, at every hotel? Yes, but that doesn't change the fact that every hotel that decides to revamp a restaurant, decides to put in another burger place. So, Hooters. You can go over to Hooters.
You love Hooters.
I love something. You can go over there and check out the new, it's a chain, it's Steak and Shake. And if you've been waiting for one of those to happen, I think there's one at South Point.
I think there is.
If you've been wanting one to be more convenient to the Las Vegas Strip, run over to Hooters, have a burger, have a shake. All will be well. One of the things I noticed, in addition to Steak and Shake at Hooters, it seems like we have news from Hooters every month or so. Something will change because nothing lasts very long there.
Right.
So whenever I do have a reason to go to their website, I have to look and see what else is happening at Hooters. For example, last time we talked about them was in relation to a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, there are these other shows I've never heard of also. Let's talk about them.
While they're around for the next few weeks.
Yeah. So I looked to see what the restaurant lineup currently is at Hooters. They do, of course, have a Hooters mm-hmm. restaurant, which they didn't always there.
They did not, which is interesting.
Interesting. But
because, you know, people love their wings.
But kind of like Planet Hollywood doesn't have a Planet Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. You have to go across the street to Caesars for that.
So Hooters, but they do have a Hooters now. So if you want your wings, you can go there. But they also have something called Southside Eatery, which is a little cafeteria style thing. It's nothing fancy, nothing big. It's just counter style, multiple types of food. They have a Pizza Hut as part of that because, America's most popular pizza. But for those of you who are from Minnesota and who are coffee drinkers, we've discussed coffee drinkers many times in mm-hmm. the past, and I know that some coffee drinkers, they've got to have their thing. So, for example, the Starbucks at Stratosphere will be very exciting for people who have to have their goddamn Starbucks every day and can't settle for any other kind of coffee. Well, those of you who are from Minnesota, you may be addicted to a different form of coffee crack, Caribou. I was shocked to see that there's a Caribou location in Las Vegas.
In a Hooters.
In a Hooters. It's not an official Caribou location. Like, if you look at the Caribou website... Mm-hmm. It is not listed on there, but I looked at the picture of the Southside Eatery where Caribou is available, and they've got the full
menu,
a pretty good sized menu. Hmm. So if you're a fan of Caribou and you have to have your Caribou first thing in the morning, head over to Hooters.
What was that thing you used to have, the hot apple steamer?
Did I? I think there was a time where someone that I worked with would occasionally stop at Caribou, and I didn't really have any of that stuff, and I would say, oh, give me something that doesn't have coffee in it. I think there was something called the hot apple. Was it called the hot apple steamer?
I don't know, but that's how I remember it. I'm going to have to look that up.
If that's not on Urban Dictionary, it sure should be. All right, so there you go. Lots of things happening over at Hooters. Act now before it changes in 2 weeks. So that's it for news. We've got a few phone calls this week that we want to take. Let's start off with this gentleman.
Hey, 500s, this is Not Drunk Scott from Boston. Just got back from 5 nights in our favorite place. A little trip report for you. Had some great meals out there. Definitely the highlight was Sage and Aria. Man, that was an amazing meal. They make this foie brulee. They call it a foie gras. It's like kind of like a creme brulee made with foie gras. Incredibly delicious. It's kind of their signature dish. We had the tartare as well. Just incredible. The whole thing, the dish after dish was just amazing. The service was impeccable. I don't drink, but my wine enjoying friends had amazing bottles of wine on good recommendations from the sommelier. So that place was A+. Anybody looking for a fancy meal, definitely Sage at Aria. I had a meal that was a little disappointing, actually, at La Cave at Wynn, which I usually enjoy. And, you know, it was mostly good, but the service was a little messed up. Like, the table was dirty. And when we told the server, she was like, oh, okay, we'll clean that. Like, didn't make a big deal of it at all.
If you're going to dine at a place that's called The Cave, don't you mm-hmm. expect it to be a little grungy?
But it's at Wynn, so.
I know.
Yeah.
It was good the time we had some flatbreads there.
Mm-hmm. And I was in desperate need of them because
We was drunk.
Uh-huh.
And I told her my shrimp in one of my dishes was a little bit overcooked. She went nuts. Like, it was, you know, oh, horrible thing. And what can I do? And I don't know. It was just weird. The service was uneven. The food was uneven. Most of it was good, but I can't give it more than a B, which I used to give that place a solid A all the time. We also had drinks at a couple great places. Based on recommendations from the Facebook group, I went to the Mandarin Lounge for a discussion with a couple of friends, and boy, that is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place to have a drink. We also had drinks at Beauty and Ethics in the little lounge there off the area, off the bar there, which is a super cool place to have a drink. Music, they had a live DJ, was really awesome, but it wasn't too loud to talk, and also just very cool, very hip, very fun. That was after dinner at Momofuku, which was excellent. Not as elevated as Sage, but really delicious. And I got some ice cream a little bit later next door at the milk bar, that cereal milk ice cream with frosted flakes in it. Yum. Was a great trip. I will call back with other details later, but thanks for all you do, and see you on the Strip.
All right. Thanks for your report. Appreciate that. Yep. Sounds like you had some good meals.
We ate at Sage once a long time ago. I had a delicious bass.
I don't remember what I had, but it was a pretty good meal. I liked it there. Although I always forget about it when we're thinking about places to go. I never think, oh, we got to go to Sage. But
yeah,
it's very good.
It's a little bit on the fancier side, so we usually...
I think we went for a prefix thing, didn't we?
Yeah.
When that was, I don't know if they still have them that for a
that
while.
That was a really good value, though.
During the wonderful days of lower hotel room occupancies and lower tourism rates, all of the
fancy restaurants had a prefix menu.
They had some good deals. So.
Three courses, $69 or something like that.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Well, glad you had a great time. And yeah, Mandarin Bar is wonderful. Like that place. We don't get up there all that often, but for people who are looking for a cool place, it's a little expensive, but great view, very chill, nice place to have a drink, and you can have a conversation because it's not too loud even when they have, you know, music playing. All right. We'll hear more from him in just a little bit. In the meantime.
Hey, Five Hundies. I am out here in Vegas for March Madness, and I'm at a Willy Wonka machine, which Tim has sworn off of.
I have.
But the thing doesn't want to let me, like, leave.
Good. That's good.
It just keeps giving me money.
Nice.
I set a limit where I'm going to cash out, and it just keeps giving me bonuses and bonuses and bonuses. Hopefully you can hear one while I'm playing here. But my goodness, this machine's been good to me this first day, and I've never been good on my first 2 days out here. Ever. Always lose. It's been fun. Just wanted to share it with you guys. Hopefully I can get a good old Oompa Loompa here going, but my goodness. Anyways, hope you guys are out, or people who are out here for the March Madness, good luck to all y'all. And keep up the good work, Five Hundies.
All right. Thank you for that call. No bonus during the call, unfortunately. Oh, but the sound effects made me missing Vegas more than I was at the start of this show.
Even Wonka.
I have good Wonka memories, but then Wonka turned its back on me, and now we're enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. We'll have more drunken fun from that particular anonymous Minnesotan caller shortly. But in the meantime, let's hear more drunk. It's one of those weeks. We're getting some... Between not drunk Scott calls, we're getting some good drunken calls. So here we go. Oops.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Taylor from New Mexico.
Hello, Taylor.
I have a story that I want to tell while I'm drunk. So last night, as you saw on the Facebook, I hit a Royal.
Woo!
And I got back to my room at GVR at about 11:30. And I put away all my money in the safe, so I'm not like losing it back while I'm drunk. But I had $500 in my pocket. 11:30, and I said, I can still ride the luck. So went out there, put $100 in bonus deluxe, also called boner deluxe, because it gives you a boner when you hit a four of a kind.
I play
dollar
that.
Dollar boner deluxe. Four of a kind. Every four of a kind is $400. I put $100 in. Totally hit it. I was feeling it. I totally hit it. And then I was so high. I just played Pai Gow poker. I didn't want to come back to my room. Played Pai Gow poker for a while, and I got back to the, you know, I was walking back to my room at around 1:30 a.m. Walking down the hallway. And I see someone's room service cart with untouched pristine chicken strips that looked still crispy. Totally took a bite out of it. Totally took a bite out of it. It's all I needed to end that evening. I'm not proud to say this, but but at the same time, I'm kind of proud, you know? Anyway, that's it's going really well. Thank you for your show. Thank you guys.
All right. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
We appreciate your honesty to the 500 community about such things. And, you know, Las Vegas is a place where you gamble. Mm-hmm. So by eating something off a room service tray, you might be taking a little bit of a gamble. Mm-hmm. But if it looks pristine as you described it, the odds are that somebody in that room decided, I'm going to discard this I'm going to leave it out in the hallway. I'm not going to eat this. But first, I'm going to wipe it all over my asshole. Unlikely. So you're probably, you know, it's probably a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you got one out of every 5,000 people is going to do something like that. Wipe it on their ball sack before they put it out there. But most likely, it's safe. I would probably, given the right conditions, I would do exactly what Taylor did.
Was it still warm?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not. I'm not faulting Taylor for this. No. I think many of us have been in a position where we would have done this exact same thing.
And you're drunk and you're hungry and food is there.
Like, I'm going to take that chance. Mm-hmm. So right on. And thank you for being honest and sharing that story with us.
And I'm glad you had financial success.
He had much luck. He was posting. Yeah, he did good things out there in Las Vegas. And we love to see that when our listeners do well. All right. Let's check in with Scott again.
Hey, guys. Not drunk Scott. Calling for part D of the trip report. Just a couple more things. One more meal that was really good, Red 8 at Wynn. I like that place, and this time I had a couple of different things that I hadn't had before. The oxtail soup there is incredible. Man, I groaned out loud when I tasted that soup and got weird looks from people nearby who thought maybe I needed to be alone for a little while. But it was amazing. I had the soup dumplings as well, and the Don Don noodles, which were both great. State of Mirage, I got upgraded to I think they call it the tower room. It's not a tower suite, but it's up on the A, B, C, D floors, which is nice because you have like an express elevator sort of. But the room was not much different from a regular Mirage room, so it didn't seem like much of an upgrade. And it really showed its wear and tear in places. I think they're due for a room reno. The bed frame was coming apart in a couple of places. The bathroom, the caulking around the toilet looked old and chipping, and around the tub looked old and chipping. Just, you know, that
I hate old caulking.
Old caulk is the worst.
Whatever it is. So, like, you know, Mirage is still a good location and a great property to play at, and I love the new the pantry, their 24-hour dining spot, but the rooms are getting a little long in the tooth. Only other thing I wanted to comment on was the giant crazy sign in front of Forum Shops at Caesars. This is an annoying sign. I mean, it is gigantic. It is blaringly bright and loud and about the shops, you know, all night long. It is, I think, a monstrosity, and surely they could have found some place to spend whatever $2.5 million, whatever they spent on that thing. You know, I don't know, paint your balloon or something, right? All right. Thanks again for all you do. That was my first of four trips for work this year. So I will be back in touch. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I'm guessing that Forum Shop sign is owned by the mall owner and not by Caesars Entertainment, who does not own the mall. And thus, any money that they would have spent elsewhere would have just gone to more shitty shopping. So, well, I suppose they could invest in better animatronics for the whatever the
statue shows.
Yeah, the
are remaining, they're even there anymore?
Yeah, they're still around. I believe they are. Taste of Chuck E. Cheese in the year 2018. All right, final call of the week.
Yo, 500. I called you a couple days ago, and I was drunk off my ass at Willy Wonka. Now I'm in a limo, and we're going to T-Mobile Arena, T-Mobile Arena, and we're going to watch the Wild win against them Golden Knights. Woo! Just figured we'd give you a shout-out. Wait, not a shout-out. Maybe it's just shout to you. What's going on? All right. Peace out, yo.
Thank you for thinking of us. We appreciate it. Hope you had a wonderful time seeing the Wild win. They were victorious in their
4-2?
I believe it was 4-2. Yep.
There were a lot of Wild fans there.
Yeah, there were. Well, that's the thing about the hockey. That's the thing about the hockey matchups in Las Vegas. There are going to always, I think, or at least for the next couple of years, be a lot of away fans. So when we saw Boston play there were certainly a lot of Bruins fans, and that's probably fairly common. And, of course, Minnesotans, you know, Vegas is their second home for a lot of us. And Not surprising. Not surprising to have a great turnout. So it was almost like a home game for the boys. Nice to see him win, too.
And hometown guy.
Jason Zucker.
Yep.
I know. He's a Las Vegas guy. Had a goal. Fantastic. All right. So before we wrap things up, we want to thank a few more people for some karma donations this week, including Richard, requesting luck for the NCAA Sweet 16/50th birthday trip. Can't imagine a Vegas trip without the benefits of everything we pick up on the podcast and Facebook group. Thanks, guys.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And Richard is one of my favorite people in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Yes, he asks good questions, he has good comments, and he's very, very entertaining. He's nice. Funny. So, wishing you the best of luck, Richard. James, a karma donation for this week's March Madness trip. Last time I sent one before a trip, I hit a royal for $8,000, so let's try it again.
I hope you succeed,
sir. I hope you're able to duplicate that. I don't think he was the person. Somebody did hit an $8,000 royal flush on a multi-strike machine this week,
oh, yeah.
Which was unbelievable to actually see those money sponges hitting a royal on the top line.
Mm-hmm.
I have lost so much money on those. I love that game, but...
But
it's not nice to me. So I was happy to see one of our listeners win some cash. Bobby with karma donation for his triumphant return to Happy Funland, April 2nd through the 7th. He said, so much has changed in the 6 years since I've been there. It will be like my first time all over again.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful time.
Yes.
Glad that you're enjoying the podcast and have stuck with it or come back to it or whatever and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. And good luck. Colin at the airport on the way for March Madness. Karma donation worked well last year, so here's hoping for repeat success.
I hope so, too.
Hope it worked out for you. All right, our buddy Donnie Mack, after the summit, I will never miss a karma donation.
Yeah,
this
he cleaned
motherfucker.
Up.
I love Donnie. He sits there at Long Bar and at Bar Prohibition and hits royal after royal. It's an amazing thing to see, or at least it was at the summit. Hopefully it happens again for him.
I hope so.
This time he's there for St. Patrick's Day, including a Flames receiver. There you go, Flames versus Golden Knights game. He's had the voicemail number in his phone since 2005 and has never used it. So we didn't hear from him yet. So we'll see. I need to put a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have expectations of people to think of us and to call. All right. Have a great time, Donnie. Sorry we're not there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Taylor, who we just heard from a little bit ago with a post-Royal Flush karma donation. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, for your brutal honesty, and for your support of the show.
Thanks to everyone and good luck to all of you.
Yes. We appreciate it very much. As always, our website is 500bymidnight.com. You can email us a few of Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. You can get upset when I rip on your favorite band on Twitter. 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. Put it in your phone. Call us, drunk or sober, from Las Vegas. We love your reviews, your thoughts, your stuff you see that's interesting. Let us know. As always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back soon with another show. And until then, have a great, 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 great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.